Well, good evening. So good to be with you. Yesterday, I got to meet a lot of you and just really enjoyed being with you, getting to know you a little bit better. Today, I got to tour your city, got to tour the campus, got to see some of you on campus. And so it's really been an enjoyable first part of the week for me to be with you. You know, much of the Bible is spent describing the seriousness of sin. And you can't get around that. If you just read through the Scripture, you'll notice that so much of it deals with the guilt of sin, the consequences of sin, the punishment for sin. And God just emphasizes and hammers away at that through the Scripture. It must be important for us to understand. Otherwise, He wouldn't keep repeating that idea all the way through the Scripture. But tonight, what I want us to do is I want us to look at something else that's emphasized in the Scripture. And that is, when God talks about forgiveness, He talks in very grand and encompassing terms. And I'm so thankful that He does. Just consider a few passages with me. Psalm 103 in verse 12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Isaiah 43 and verse 25, "I, even I, am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins." In Micah chapter 7 and verse 19, "He will again have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities, and He will cast all of our sins into the depth of the sea." When I come to understand how terrible, truly terrible sin is, and what it will cost me, what it has cost me, and what it could ever more cost me, I desperately want my sins to be removed that far away from me. I want to be washed that clean. I want my sins to be forgotten. I want my sins to be thrown into the depths of the sea, not to be remembered anymore. And God wants that for me. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants me to receive that type of salvation. That's the heart of the gospel message. That's why it's called the gospel. It's good news. God is saying, look, I want to forgive you of your sins. I want you to have that salvation. And He tells us how we can have that salvation. Just a few moments ago, we sang the song Redeemed. You know, that is a song about the hope that we have, the confidence that we have, that we are forgiven, that we are redeemed. And yet, I would just guess that some of you are singing that song, and if you're really thinking about the words, you're going, I don't know. I don't know if I'm really forgiven or not. I don't know that if tonight was my last night and I had to stand before the Lord in judgment this evening, that I would be pleasing in His sight. I'm just not sure. And maybe you sing that song kind of, I hope I'm redeemed. I hope I'm forgiven. On the other hand, there are probably some who are singing that song with complete and total confidence. And yet in reality, you probably don't have reason to be singing it with complete and total confidence. Not that redemption is not available for you, but that you have not received that redemption yet. And I want us to talk about these two ideas tonight as we go through and look at the pardon that God offers to us. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I want us to notice something in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's start in verse 13. And this is kind of a difficult concept for a lot of people to wrap their mind around. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, after Paul has talked about all the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus, he says, "In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. The good news, the message of the good news of your salvation. In whom you have believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Do you see what he's writing? He's writing to Christians. And he's saying, you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is your guarantee. Your guarantee of your inheritance. The guarantee of your salvation. The guarantee of your redemption. Do you get the idea here that Paul is saying to them, you can know that you have salvation. The Holy Spirit, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of your inheritance. He basically says the same thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22. He said, whom also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. So somehow, the Holy Spirit offers us assurance. It's a guarantee that we can know that we have salvation. But how? How is the Holy Spirit? How are we sealed with the Holy Spirit? What evidence does the Holy Spirit give that we can look at and say, okay, I know that I have redemption. I know that I'm in good standing before the Lord. You ever heard someone say, well, I'll tell you how I know. I feel it in my heart. There is a peace in my heart. And I know. And maybe they'll even express some emotional experience that they had. I remember it was just like a burden was just lifted off of me. And I know that feeling assures me that I have salvation. The Scripture teaches us that feelings and emotional experiences are not reliable evidence of our standing before the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, it says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end of the way is death. In other words, we can be completely convinced of something. We can have just total confidence in something because we feel that way about it, and yet that's not the case at all. That's not reality at all. If you want an example of that, think of Saul of Tarsus. Remember Saul of Tarsus? He's doing everything he can to destroy Christianity and to wipe out the name of Christ. And you know how he feels about it? He is completely confident that he is doing the Lord's will, that he's pleasing in God's sight. He's doing this with all good conscience. If we were to ask him, why are you doing this? I'm doing this to serve the Lord. Do you feel you're pleasing to the Lord? I absolutely know I'm pleasing to the Lord. It wasn't until Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he says, who are you? I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. It wasn't till that moment that he ever seemed to really entertain the idea that he may be in the wrong. Feelings and emotions are not reliable evidence of our standing before the Lord. When we talk about the evidence of our pardon, saying, I feel, I just know in my heart, I just had this feeling that the burden was lit. That's not objective evidence of our pardon. So how are we sealed? This idea of the seal of the Holy Spirit, I don't believe it's some subjective feeling. I believe it's something more objective than that. So let's look at what the work of the Holy Spirit is. Let's look in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Before Jesus left the apostles, he told them that he was leaving. He said, but I'm not leaving you orphans. And in John 14 and verse 26, John chapter 14 and verse 26, he says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. So what Jesus is saying is, I'm not going to be here physically to be your instructor. I'm not going to be here to tell you the will of God and to let you know what God's will is, but I'm sending you the Helper, the Holy Spirit, and He will teach you all things. If you look over in chapter 16, John chapter 16 and verse 13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority. He will speak what he hears, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So you're going to be able to know the Father's will because the Holy Spirit is going to guide you into all truth. That was the promise to the apostles. And the Holy Spirit did come upon the apostles and did declare to them all truth. Turn over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Just as Jesus said, the Holy Spirit came upon them. The Holy Spirit was causing them to speak. But you know, the Holy Spirit was not just causing them to speak in other languages, but the Holy Spirit was also giving them the message that they were speaking in those languages. The message that they were giving and they were teaching on this day, on the day of Pentecost, was not their own message. It was the message of God. The Holy Spirit was revealing God's will. So the people that were hearing them were hearing the message of God. And they could know God's will. They could know what God expected of them because the Holy Spirit was speaking through the apostles. You look down to verse 37. After Peter and the rest of the 11 were teaching this message, and basically what the message was is this: Jesus, whom you crucified, is both Lord and Christ. Now, stop right there. Suppose you were a Jew, and you really did want to do what was right. You wanted to please God. And you thought you were doing right. Your leadership had told you that this was an imposter that needed to be put to death. And you rallied behind that. Maybe you were one of the ones that said, crucify him, crucify him. And now you find out that that was God's Son. That was the long-awaited Messiah. What would be your response to that? You notice their response. They were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? We're convicted of our sin. We recognize we have rebelled against God. We have killed His Son. What do we need to do? Now, the apostles are about to answer them. But remember, the apostles are not speaking their own words here. They're speaking the message that the Holy Spirit is giving them. And the apostles speak. Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Okay, you remember? What are they convicted of? Their sins. The Holy Spirit has just said, you can have remission of your sins. Do you see that? They responded to that. They heeded the words of the apostles, at least many of them did on this day. Here, the apostles, inspired by the Holy Spirit, give conditions for pardon. It was the Holy Spirit giving the conditions for the pardon. The Holy Spirit was saying, if you do this, your sins can be remitted. I just want you to hold on to that thought. Now, the problem today is that we don't have the apostles here with us. They're not speaking by direct inspiration to us. I'm not speaking by direct inspiration to you as I speak to you tonight. But turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And notice something that Paul records for us here. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's start reading in verse 2. If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in few words, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets. Do you see what Paul is saying here? You may understand that the Holy Spirit has given me direct inspiration so that I can understand God's will. and I speak to you God's will. However, I have written this down so that when you read, you can know God's will. We don't have the Apostle Paul here to speak to us God's will. But we do have his writings. And when we read these writings, we can understand, we can know what the Holy Spirit revealed to him. We can know what the Holy Spirit had to say about our pardon and about the conditions for our pardon. And so when we're reading through the Scripture, what we're reading is we're reading the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is speaking to us through the pages of the Scripture. It is the sword of the Spirit. It's the tool that the Spirit uses to cut our heart. Now turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Read with me, starting in verse 14. Romans 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together with Him. Notice a couple of the phrases in here. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. It sounds like what he's saying is that if we are led by the Spirit, then we can have confidence that we belong to God. We can have confidence of our salvation. And then he continues on. He says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, or that we are children of God. How is it that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit? We know what the tool of the Spirit is. We know what the sword of the Spirit is. We know what the work of the Spirit is, and that is to reveal God's message, to tell us what we need to do in order to receive this forgiveness and this pardon. So how is it that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit so that we can know that He becomes the guarantee, the seal, that we can be confident, I have salvation, I have redemption. I know that before God, I'm in good standing. Well, how does the Holy Spirit bear witness, first of all? We know His work. He reveals. He teaches. He instructs. He does so through His written word. I just want us to go through and notice some things that the Holy Spirit has said in His Word. For instance, in Romans chapter 10, in verse 14, the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, how then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on Him in whom they have not heard? And then you look at verse 17, and he says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Holy Spirit says that hearing the Word of God is essential to us calling upon God, upon us having faith in God. So we have to hear the Word. We have to hear the Word if we're going to be saved. That's what the Holy Spirit is telling us. That's what He's instructing us. Now, consider this, and I just want to ask you, have you heard the Word of the Gospel? Have you heard the word that the Holy Spirit is talking about here? Are you familiar with it? Have you been taught it? If so, what you're answering in your mind is, well, yes, I have. I've heard that. Okay, now the Holy Spirit has bore witness that you have to hear this in order to be saved. You're examining your life, and your spirit is saying, well, I have heard that. I am aware of that. The Spirit is bearing witness with your spirit. Y'all are united on this. You have a common understanding on this. You have an agreement. You're in harmony. You bear witness together on this. Continuing that line of thought, turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and this goes along with what we just read. Faith comes by hearing. So hearing is essential, but faith is essential also. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, the Holy Spirit says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those that diligently seek Him." Having confidence that what is revealed in that word is true is absolutely essential. You have to trust that. You have to be sure of that. I believe that God is real, and not only that, I believe that God is able to save me. I believe that He's able to pardon me of my sin, and to forgive me, and to remove my sin. That's what the Holy Spirit bears witness to. Now let me ask you about your spirit. Do you believe? Do you really trust what God has said? Do you have that confidence that He is and that He is the rewarder of those that diligently seek Him? If so, then the Holy Spirit is bearing witness with your spirit. You're in agreement. I've heard that. And I have believed that. And I trust in that. And I'm confident of that. The Holy Spirit bears witness to the fact that faith is essential to salvation. My spirit bears witness to the fact that I do believe. We bear witness together. Talked about Acts chapter 2. Peter, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, when they asked, "What do we need to do?" Peter said, "Repent." The Holy Spirit said, "You must repent. If you are going to receive salvation, the remission of your sins, you must repent." That idea of repentance has a lot to do with the thinking of the mind. When you sinned against God, why did you sin against God? Probably because you wanted to. I want to do this. This is what my desire, my craving is. God said to do this, but I want to do this. And so you pursued that. Repentance is to change your thinking about that, and not just your thinking, but also your action. I wanted to pursue this. I don't want to pursue this any longer. You know why I don't want to pursue this any longer? Because I realize it leads to my condemnation. So I'm going to turn, I'm going to repent, and now I'm going to pursue doing God's will. That's the concept of repentance. The Holy Spirit says, unless you repent, you cannot be saved. You cannot receive this remission of sin. In Acts chapter 17, in verse 30, "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." That's what the Holy Spirit bears witness to. Have you repented? Have you changed your thinking about pursuing sin? Have you changed your actions in pursuing sin? Now, right here at this point, if you're looking at this and you're saying, "Well, you know, up to this point, the Holy Spirit's been bearing witness with my spirit. I've heard, I've believed. But I know that there's sin in my life that I've not turned from, that I've not repented from." Well, then you understand what you're seeing right here? What you're seeing is now the Holy Spirit is no longer bearing witness with your spirit. The Holy Spirit is saying that repentance is necessary, and you're saying, "Well, I haven't really done that." Now, at this point, you know something. The Holy Spirit said, "This is necessary for me to be a child of God, and yet I haven't done this." Now, you know something. You know something. But let's take it a little further. Let's say, "Well, I really have. I've tried to change my thinking. I've tried to change my action. I'm not participating and continuing to knowingly do something that I'm confident is against God's will. I have repented. I have changed." Well, in that case, the Holy Spirit's bearing witness with your spirit. You're in agreement on this. Let's go a little bit further. In Romans chapter 10, in verse 9, the Holy Spirit reveals that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This idea of confession, I do believe, involves the idea of saying, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." But I believe it's more than that as well. It's the acknowledgement, not only do I believe that He's the Son of God, but I acknowledge Him as Lord, the Lord Jesus, that He'll be the one that directs me. And this goes very closely along with repentance. The Holy Spirit says that's necessary unto salvation. The mouth must make confession unto salvation. You may look at that and say, well, I've done that. I've confessed that Jesus is the Son of God, and I've confessed Him as Lord. Well, then the Holy Spirit is bearing witness with your spirit. Something else we notice in Acts chapter 2, though, the Holy Spirit bore witness through Peter that these people who wanted to receive the remission of their sins had to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You know, they didn't question that, it doesn't seem, at that moment. I'm always amazed at how many people question, well, I don't understand, why do I have to be baptized? These people didn't seem to question that. Maybe we shouldn't question that either. When the Holy Spirit says, look, here are the conditions for pardon. If we really want that, if we desire it like they desired it, then I don't know that we would question that. But here's what I want us to think about. What was the reason that the Holy Spirit gave here for being baptized? For the remission of sins. I had an experience. I was not raised in a Christian home. And when I first learned the truth, I learned it in a denominational church. And I learned about the Scripture. I learned about God. I learned about Jesus. I learned about sin. And I desired to be saved from my sin. And I believed what the Bible said. And I repented of my sin. And I confessed Jesus as Lord. Sometime later, someone questioned me about my salvation. And basically, really the same question I want you to think about tonight. Lonnie, are you sure that you're saved? Well, I was. I was confident of it. And I said so, yes, I believe I am. Well, what makes you think that? Well, and I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and I've tried to repent of my sins, and I've confessed Him as Lord. Well, that's good. And they showed me this passage. The man that I was studying with showed me this passage. And he said, here's what the Bible teaches about this. Were you baptized for the remission of your sins? Well, I was not. I had been baptized. Actually, I'd been baptized twice. But it was not for the remission of my sins. It was for other reasons. Now, I don't know if anybody's ever challenged you or questioned you about whether you were saved or not. But if you think you're saved and somebody questions you, that sometimes rubs people the wrong way. And I got pretty irritated about that. And so I really wanted to show him, no, I'm confident that I'm saved. And so I went home and studied. And I looked, because what I wanted to show him is, by the words of the Holy Spirit says that I'm saved. And here's how I know that. But as I studied this passage and other passages, for instance, like Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, where there it's recorded that here was Ananias talking to Saul, and he said to him, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. He again states the reason for baptism. Because what the Holy Spirit reveals about baptism is we're talking about this remission of sins. We're talking about these sins being removed, washed away. When does that happen? At what moment does that happen? The Scripture teaches that that happens when one is immersed in water. And that old man is crucified, dies, and is buried. And the sins are washed away. And those sins are removed as far as from the east, from the west. And that person is raised up to walk in newness of life. Born again. Clean, pure, spotless before God. That's what the Holy Spirit reveals about baptism. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, there's also an antitype which now saves us. Baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as I began to look at these passages, I started to notice something. The Holy Spirit was bearing witness that baptism was necessary for my sins to be remitted. But I had not been baptized for the remission of my sins. And so there was that question. Can I be confident that I have salvation? I believe that I had had salvation for number of years at this point. But when I looked at the Scripture, the Holy Spirit was not bearing witness with what I knew. And so I had to recognize something. I want to know. I want to know. And so I was baptized for the remission of my sins. And now, guess what? The Holy Spirit says, repent and let everyone be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Now that can bear witness with my spirit. I have been baptized for the remission of my sins. Look at another passage here. Turn over to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 in verse 7. The Holy Spirit bears witness, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. What the Holy Spirit bears witness of is now, as I'm walking in this newness of life, I have to walk in the light as Christ is in the light. I have to be a follower of Him. And really, that's the idea of the repentance, remember? We changed our direction. We changed our thinking. Now we're walking, following Him. And as long as I'm following Him and being faithful to Him, then the Holy Spirit says, I have the forgiveness of my sins. But I recognize that all too frequently, I turn away from following Him. What happens then? Well, look down at verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to cleanse us. Okay. So here I am, I'm trying to walk in the light, I'm trying to be faithful, but I stumble, I make mistakes, I turn away. When I recognize that, what do I need to do? I need to repent, I need to confess that. And then the promise of the Holy Spirit is God is faithful to forgive me and to cleanse me of my sin. That's what the Holy Spirit bears witness to. So here I am, and I'm doing my very best to follow God's instruction and obey His Word. And when I see sin in my life, I repent of it. I don't allow it to remain there. I don't make excuses for it. I don't continue in it. I repent of it. I confess it. What does the Holy Spirit say that I have? I have salvation. I have the remission of my sins. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. A lot of this first chapter is talking about pressing on, growing in this new walk of life that you have as a Christian. You continue to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge self-control. And it goes through and says, you're developing and you're growing and you're pressing on. And then we get down to verse 10. And listen to this bold statement. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It sounds like to me that the Holy Spirit, through Peter, is saying, you can know that you have received the remission of your sins. You can know that you're saved. How? If you do these things, if you're growing, if you're following the instruction that the Holy Spirit has given you. And so, guess what? When I've done these things, the Holy Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. And I can have that confidence. I can have that assurance. And I can sing, I'm redeemed. Now, wait a minute. I can be sure of my pardon. Why? Because I've earned it in somehow? I can check off. I say, oh, I've done this, and so now I'm so good that I've earned. No. Because I've submitted myself to the will of God. And through the Holy Spirit, He's promised me forgiveness. And I know that He's faithful to keep His promises. That's how I can know. That's how I can know. When the Holy Spirit bears witness with my spirit, I have the evidence of my pardon. It's not a subjective feeling. I can go to the Scripture and say, well, this is the promise that the Holy Spirit makes. I've submitted to His instruction on that. I know He'll keep His promise. It's not a subjective feeling. It's an objective observance of the Holy Spirit's instructions and my compliance that assures my pardon. And I know that God keeps His promises. I'm confident of that. Here's what I want to accomplish with this lesson. I want each and every one of us to leave here tonight knowing where we stand before God. And when we sing songs like I'm Redeemed, I want us to know whether we can sing that and rightfully be confident of that or not. I don't want any of us to leave tonight saying, well, you know, I just really don't know where I stand. And if you still feel that way, I really hope that you will talk to me, talk to one of the brethren here, and say, let's sit down and look at what God's Word says about this. Because God wants you to know where you stand. He wants you to know where you stand. You can know with certainty if you are forgiven. You can be confident of that. You can look at what the Holy Spirit has revealed. You can go through that and say, you know what? I have heard the Word, and I believe that Word, and I trust that. I have repented of my sins. I have confessed Jesus as my Lord. I have been baptized for the remission of sins. I've been raised up to walk a newness of life, and I am trying my very best to walk in the light, and when I see sin in my life, I repent of it and turn back to the Lord. If that's the case, then you can know that you have salvation, and you can rejoice in that. But the flip side of that's also true. And tonight, if you're looking at this and you're saying, well, I see what the Holy Spirit's revealed. And you look through that and you say, well, you know what? I've not repented of my sins. And I don't know how else to put this except to say this. You can know where you stand before God if you've not repented of your sins. And don't let anybody sugarcoat that. If you've not repented of your sins, you are still in them. You still bear the guilt of them. And you are not a child of God. You're lost. God doesn't want you to be. As a matter of fact, the whole reason He's revealed this is to say, look, I don't want you to be. Please repent. I don't desire that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. As you look at this and you see these passages, maybe about baptism, and you look at that and say, well, you know, I have not been baptized for the remission of sins. And you may have been baptized for some other reason, because that's very common. But the Scripture talks about being baptized for the remission of sins. And if you look at what the Scripture says, and you look at your life and you say, well, you know, I've not done that. The Holy Spirit is telling you something. The Holy Spirit is telling you this is something that the Lord has instructed you to do. And if you haven't submitted to that, What did Peter say? Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. If you've not been baptized for the remission of sins, you can know. You can know what you need to do. You can know where you stand before the Lord. The Lord's instructing you. He's telling you what your next step needs to be. Maybe you've done that, but you have not been walking in the light. After being raised up out of the waters of baptism, you have not remained faithful to the Lord. You know that there's sin in your life. You've not confessed that sin. You've not repented of that sin. You're continuing in it. Let me tell you, you can know. You can know where you stand. And God wants you to be sure of that. He wants you to know. He doesn't want you to live in denial. He doesn't want you to live in ignorance. Tonight, as you examine your life, where do you stand before the Lord? The Holy Spirit has told us we can know. Examine your life. Wouldn't it be great if every one of us, as we leave here tonight, could sing, "It is well with my soul," and that be true of every single one of us? That can be the case. But if you need to make correction, please don't pass up this opportunity. God is calling to you. He's inviting you. Partake of the salvation that He offers. If you need to make some correction in your life, please do it tonight. You're surrounded by people that want to help you. If we can, would you please come to the front while we stand and while we sing?